In the original Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Johnny Depp's character, Captain Jack Sparrow, makes a very profound insight. I know that there's four Caribbean movies, but really just pretend there's one, the other three just don't. It's like they're a pre Indiana Jones movie. They didn't really make a fourth one, so we just pretend it's not there. So in the original one, in the original film, at the end of the movie, Johnny Depp says something very profound. He says this. He says, what a ship needs is a hull, mast, rigging, and a rudder. But what a ship is freedom. That's actually a very profound insight. What a ship needs to function is all of these things, but what is it really in essence? And he says it's freedom. Because with this ship, I can go wherever I want to. I'm not tied down. And I think the closest modern corollary for us would be a car. Right? What a car needs is an engine and wheels and a transmission. But what a car is in one very real sense, freedom. And if you've ever been in a situation where someone's had to have their car keys taken away from them, right? Why is that such a difficult thing to do? Because in a very real sense, what's being taken from this person is not just automobile keys, but their freedom to come and go as they will. So there's some, the point sticks. It's a valid point. And what I've been led to ask myself as we're gathered here in our parish hall, which was, as many of you know, our original church that was built in 1956, and we've worshipped in the main sanctuary, if you will, since the early 60s. But we find ourselves gathered together in unique circumstances. Right? Did you know that the nave here that's being cooled very desperately by our air conditioning? We get the word nave from we get the word nave from the Latin word nave, which means ship. Where we get our English word naval, like naval fleet. And why is that? Because the early on, the church understood itself as being a body of people in a boat, like the ark. And that ark is Christ. And as his people, we are in him. As that boat is brought through the storms of God's wrath into redemption, when the first Christians built their churches as distinct buildings, they make the roof look like the hull of a ship. Right? And so you can see that the nautical connection here with Pirates of the Caribbean. So that led me to ask the question. Okay, we're in a different nave. But if we ask the question, well, what is the church? We're not in our usual worship place. We're not gathered as a congregation in our usual nave. But if we say, what is the church? The answer to that question we find in our articles of religion. Many of you may know this, you may not, that our church is a confessional church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. In the back of our prayer book on page 876, is the beginning of the 39 Articles of Religion, which is a confessional statement of the Church of England and of the Episcopal Church. And in Article 12, it says this, that the visible Church of Christ is the congregation of faithful people where the pure word of God is preached and the sacraments are rightly administered in keeping with Christ's ordinance and all things of necessity that are required of the saints. In other words, the visible church is the gathering of the faithful where God's word is rightly preached and his sacraments are administered, and then all the stuff that you have to do to make those things happen. That's the church. That's what a church is by our own confessional statement. And if you want to, we don't have prayer books in here right now. Here in the other church, you can look that up and check me. But there you go, Article 12, find it. So if that's what the church is, what does the church need? Okay, going back to our Captain Jack Sparrow philosophical insight, what does the church need? In a very fundamental sense, the church needs a place to gather. The Greek word ekklesia, the church, literally means the gathering. So we need a place to gather. This is, incidentally, why you can't do church by yourself. Right? There's no such thing as iChurch. You might have iPods, iPhones, and iPads, but there's no such thing as iChurch. Right? The church has to gather. And that's what Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So there has to be a place to gather. Now, the earliest Christians gathered in people's homes. That's where the church, that's what the church needed, was a place to gather, and they met that need by gathering in homes. In fact, the first separate worship space that we would call a church wasn't built until the middle of the 3rd century in Duros Europa in what is today Jordan. And it dates to about the year 240, I think. Right? So the first 200 or so years, the church, for the most part, met in people's homes. Right? And then they started to build their own churches. But in a lot of cases, Christians didn't even meet in people's homes. They met underground, like literally underground in catacombs. Can you imagine if, as different as this is today, imagine if we were in a mausoleum, right? Is that still the church? So all of this brings into focus the question of what the church needs versus what the church is. What the church is the gathering of the faithful in Christ, where word is preached and sacraments administered. What we need is a place to gather. And not being able to gather where we normally do, I think brings that into sharp focus. We've got some fantastic lessons today. Where we see the Aramaean general Naaman, who captures a young Israelite girl in a rage. She spoils the war, right? And she's a servant, a slave in his household. And she tells him about the prophet that can heal him from his leprosy. And Naaman knows what he needs. He needs to be clean. Healed and cleansed. And what's amazing is he thinks he's going to buy it. So he shows up at the king of Judah's front door with lots of money. And the king says, "Am I God to just dole out healings like this?" And a servant there says, "Well, here you go see Elisha the prophet." And it's a servant of Elisha that comes out and meets him. And he gets all bent out of shape because he's somebody important. And he doesn't get what he wants. But at the end of the story, he does get what he needs. Because he comes to understand who God is. You see that progression? We ask, who is God? What do we really need? Which is oftentimes not necessarily what we want. Right? And so if we circle this back, I could say more about Naaman, but I felt like our circumstances, we're in sort of a unique season of life as the church together. And this has really sort of brought all of this into stark contrast for me. What do we ask ourselves as a church? If what we are is the congregation of the faithful, word and sacrament are preached and administered. What we need is a place to gather. So if we're gathered in here, in classrooms, on the front lawn of the rectory, we're still the church. In fact, many Christians around the world gather week in and week out without air conditioning, without the freedom to practice their religion, without fear of persecution. They gather at their own personal risk. But then we ask ourselves, well, what what do we want as a church? What are the things that we want? Are some of the things that we want things like stained glass windows, a beautiful sanctuary, a lovely organ, right? Air conditioning. We begin to realize the difference between the things we want, the things we need, and the things that we are. And what I think God does is he will oftentimes take away the things we want so that we can really see the things that we need and the things that we are. Because I've asked myself, why, God, did you take away our air conditioning 2 weeks before we're supposed to get the whole thing replaced? I've asked that all week. And the answer is, because then you need to really understand what the church is and what you really need. And don't let the things that you want, however good and nice they may be, get in the cloud that vision. So I'm not poo-pooing stained glass windows or the organ. That's what you hear me saying, and you're not hearing me correctly. Those are all good things, those are fun things, but don't let those confuse or get in the way of a clear sightedness of what we need and who we are. And so as we gather together in this place, this parish hall, which was the original church, we come starkly into focus of who we are, because the things that we want have been taken away. Now granted, just for a short time, I'm hoping by the end of the month, the new air conditioning will be in and up and running, and we'll be back to where we normally like to be, with all of our first world comforts met. But don't let that cloud this reorientating season that we're in to come into real contact with who we are as Christians and as the church, and to ask ourselves very clearly, what is it we need as a church? We need each other. We need a place to gather. And we need Christ, His word and His sacraments. Guess what? We have those. We have them richly. We never lost them.